Hey, Clubhouse Conversation listeners, welcome to a very special archival episode.
We recorded this episode earlier this year before we settled into our News of the Week format, but we really want to share it with you anyway.
So sit back and enjoy the dulcet tones of your favorite hosts talking about technology and theater. Oh, hi, Joe.
Hi, Jess. It's so nice to see you.
You too. I was wondering why one would have just a single conversation when you could have conversations around conversations about conversations.
Oh my God, that's such a good question.
I know.
We have this Tech Theater Clubhouse Conversations thing every week. Why not talk about that? More conversations about conversations that we just had. Except this week, Jess, I think you missed the Clubhouse conversation. Is that right?
I did. Womp womp.
Oh no. Well, for everyone who needs the reminder, our brilliant Clubhouse conversations happen at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse, and we talk about the intersection of technology and theater. But Jess didn't come this week.
Rude. We always walk away from these wonderful Clubhouse talks with our eyes open and our minds reeling. And so we decided to share our thoughts and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. But really, this week is about catching me up, everyone. So like, this is for me. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked, and my background is in the theater and digital film stuff. I love creating it, watching it, and talking about it.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked and a recovering startup guy, which makes me a good foil for Jess's creative brain. So prepare while we dive deep into the tech theater world and I catch Jess up on the Clubhouse conversation from earlier today.
Welcome to Tech Theater Tuesdays, everyone.
Yeah, we need some post effects for the air horn.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really good at this, you guys. So I think, as I understand it, this I'm not going to tell you this authoritatively since we know I wasn't there. This week, we asked our incredible executive producers at Broadway Unlocked to join us and share their experiences with the 60 plus shows we've done over the last 10 months. Right, Joe?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we were super lucky to have Steph Cowan and Courtney Smith, who are Broadway Unlocked segment producer and executive producer. I guess Steph does both too, whatever. Join us and to share their insights on what it is and what it meant to sort of be a segment and executive producer in this like digital show, digital live event space. But one of the things that I asked them right off the bat was, what was it like actually transitioning into this space? Because one of the interesting things in both of their stories was that neither had done a ton or really any digitally focused stuff, which I think is so true of so many people in the space right now. It's like, oh yeah, it just happened. No one really, not that they didn't think about it beforehand, but that they weren't focused on it beforehand. And then it was the only game in town. And so the smartest, the most brilliant, and the most enterprising, which I would count those two in that category.
For sure.
Made it work and figured it out, which was a really cool part of actually Courtney's stories and Steph as well that I picked up on, that an executive producer is like, or a producer generally, was kind of like the perfect person to jump in to solve problems and to figure a new space out. And it you know, became even clearer to me across that conversation that, oh, of course these two people are going to have success in this world. Like they're both empathetic and totally cutthroat and just need to get to solutions.
Yes, totally.
And like the balance between those two things.
Did you guys talk at all about, so there's like this running joke. If you've joined us on Clubhouse, actually, you probably haven't heard about it yet. It's mostly internal and with our clients and collaborators, but that like, we love to make up a job role and name at Broadway Unlocked. I think that is really a result of the fact that we work in a space that most people have never worked in. But in particular, we literally just had another client we were having a meeting with, and they were like, y'all have a name for everything, don't you? We were like, we do. But with the executive producer in particular, right? I think what an executive producer does already was like a moving target, right? Because it means something for TV and it means a totally different thing for film. And now we've added this third iteration of what even an executive producer is, you know, inside what we do with interactive like digital experiences. And then that even trickles down into like four different versions of an EP, depending on what we're working on. And did that come up at all today?
No. And I actually, just as you were explaining, I was like, oh, we should have started with that. Like that should have been the starting point of this conversation. Exactly. We're like, we didn't lean too heavily into the terminology. Yeah. Like, I'm using it now with you because you and I know it, but thank you to the for the listeners of this that now they know too. But we just kind of like glossed over it. It was just like, hey, these two work in you know, live events, and they're going to tell us their stories and their experiences and get us sort of down into the weeds and into the nitty gritty of what it means to execute these things. So we kind of just glossed right over it.
Perfect. I think that's probably for the best.
Yeah. It's like, here every one of your glossaries with your definitions of terms. And,
exactly.
Go to our link tree to find out more.
So I'm really curious to hear, like, where did the conversation go? I think, you know, when we were planning this episode, the thought was really to, like, start to forecast what's coming, you know, based on what we've experienced in the last year. And so what were some of those sort of, like, big bullet points, like the things that really stuck out to you during the conversation?
Wait, well, before we go there, I wanted to ask you a kind of a trivia question that came up right at the beginning that was kind of mind-blowing.
Okay.
So did you know that both Steph and Court were on boats, like out to sea on a cruise ship when the pandemic hit?
I knew that Steph was, but I did not know Courtney was.
Yeah, they were. They both like were like, "Wait, you too? Oh my god!"
That is like, so weird.
I know. So like, not even just like their sort of overlapping experience coming from this in-person world, and then having to move into a digital world, and sort of how they each individually experience that. It was like literally they're both on boats.
On boats. That's weird, and so perfect in so many ways.
It was really fantastic, and just it set the tone right off the bat of just like, oh, this is gonna be fun and familial.
Good. It's a typical Broadway Unlocked conversation where you're like, you thought you showed up for fancy and like, no, let's talk about being on boats when a virus hits the world.
Exactly. And getting off those boats before everything closes down.
Yes, that too.
Mm-hmm. But to go back to what you were asking before around like, oh, okay, we, you know, came from fully in-person to now fully digital. And what is that future going to look like? It was amongst like the first things we threw at them was like, just talk to us about the differences between the in-person and the digital world. You know, what has surprised you? What has been hard to fix, hard to do, hard to translate? And what things were actually like, you know, better because it was a virtual world. And they both had a lot of insight from their experiences. You missed a whole bunch of stories that I'm not going to recount, but storytelling, I think that's the key to this whole episode. Was we kind of just devolved into like, hey, come up and tell us your like craziest stories, either, you know, in the past in person or across digital. And like, that's how we actually got people up from the audience and the stage was like, do you have a crazy story? You might have seen it across the production chat that we were basically like, oh yeah, we're just into like if it bleeds it leads sort of territory, because we were just like asking for everyone's like craziest, most engaging, scary town stories. Like what went terribly wrong and how'd you fix it? It's like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. Just the drama.
I feel like I in one some world, you're just saying all this to create FOMO for everyone who's listening, and so that you'll show up for our Clubhouse chats 12:55 Eastern on Tuesdays. But I believe I didn't see any of that in the production chat, and now I'm really, really sad I couldn't be there.
There were stories of trap doors and magic link issues. Maybe a couple more trivia facts that I'll save for the end of this episode. Stay tuned.
Oh, he's getting good at this.
I'm just like remembering all these fun things that we had. But to go back to that topic of like the in-person versus the digital and then eventually the hybrid, everyone kind of ignored the prompt of like, what's the future going to look like? And it was a lot of retrospective and a lot of learning, which I think is super valuable.
Interesting.
But one of the things that both Steph and Courtney pulled out that I'd love your take on, because I think you think about this a lot as well, was like the power of like being connected digitally and how, you know, we think of it in terms of accessibility with like more people can join these events and you don't have to physically be in New York to see something. You don't have to drive or get a babysitter, all those elements that like sort of make it a high barrier to entry. They shifted that lens towards the people you're working with, which I had never thought of it through that. And, you know, just you and I used to joke that for the first like 3 or 4 months that we started this company, we had never actually met each other in person.
Yeah.
Which part of me wanted to like keep that story going forever and never meet in person, but I'm glad
we only met in person 3 times. That doesn't count for much.
We have like 3 times, 3 hugs, and that's it. That's our entire life story.
And a slice of pizza on a rock on Grand Street.
Oh my God, so true. We're coming to Kansas. Let's all meet in Kansas City. I feel like that makes sense. I've never been there.
It's a great town. I'm biased.
I've heard. Full of great people, which was actually the point that Steph and Courtney were making, were like, oh, all these wonderful people I'm getting to work with, getting to meet. That just it just wouldn't have happened, or it would have taken so much longer for it to happen, or some, weird set of circumstances that either brought one of these people who are in Kansas City, or Natalie or Lucy, you're neither of you are in New York City, like that we're all getting to work together because it's has to be over the internet. And it's like, okay, great. Doesn't matter where any of us live because we're all locked in our homes. So we get to like expand our networks and meet people in other places that we may never have gotten to meet, which was something that Steph was talking about, just like really, really valuing. And I think like specifically, Giuliano in Kansas City, and like Shane out in LA, and Dustin, wherever the hell he is now, because he's been bouncing all over the place. And just like that is such a huge perk to have like gotten to experience and meet these all these people. Whereas otherwise it just would have been who's physically in New York. And I'm sure there's great people in New York too, two of us. But I was curious your take on that, just as someone who is bi-coastal, or I guess was bi-coastal before travel became not really a thing, and how you experienced that.
Yeah, it made me think of a couple of things. I was like actually wishing I had notes to write down so they don't flit out of my head. But I mean, the first thing that it made me think is that like as someone who people often joke at as like just my career could be introducing people to each like I just love like I love smart, talented people so much, and I'm lucky that I have this sort of like steel trap brain, and like I just love hanging on to people, and I love introducing them that this is the perfect company for like being able to do that, to just keep running into people and then introducing them to people. And I like I've always considered my friend group to be a success when my different friend groups meet each other and then their friends, because that means there's a really good core thread, across all the people you know. So that was like the first weird thought I had. But secondly, it reminds me in some ways, it's a sort of a similar situation to a couple of things we've run into, not even around the people we work with, but one, in the beginning when we would always joke that we would say we're playing the like, how have I not met you before game with our clients and collaborators. Like I know this is more on my side, like in the theater industry, but that we would have that is exactly the same thing that I would have likely never collided with Stanley Behoric or Kate Baldwin, or I would have taken forever, like you said, right? And have to be a very specific instance of us actually doing anything more than crossing paths at a party, basically, right? Which definitely would have happened, but there, because we were had this collision, and they are people that think and inspire us and we love working with, like we have this whole new group of friends and collaborators to walk out of from this too, outside, not like in our employees and like the clients and collaborators that we work with. And the third little thing that I think feels really similar is an insight that one of the theaters gave us after we were like one of our early shows. In their feedback session, this is like a big, huge theater that you would know, they said one of the really surprising and interesting things for them coming out of the show, the digital show, was that it connects people in such a way that like they could even see their board not having to be people in that local city anymore, because this institution matters, nationally, internationally. Like the reach and sort of impact is far outside their local city. And now that we can connect everybody together through digital, like why couldn't someone in New York City be on the board of that company, right? That just like loves the work and believes in the mission. And so I just see that reverberation that you're talking about and that you guys brought up within our employees across a lot of different places in our work.
I really love that. And it was fun. One of the threads that it did come back around to with both Steph and Court was that you were actually at the intersection of both of their sort of getting into digital events origin stories with the Broadway Does Mother's Day event, and then the Guthrie event for Courtney. And so yeah, I was going to actually ask you the exact thing that you transitioned into, which was we've learned these great things about, this weird period of, hey, we're all stuck in our homes, we're all always on the internet, that's our main mode of communication with other human beings. how do we like keep those good parts of what we're doing as we transition back into the in-person world? How do we not just fold back into New York City life and, you know, start forgetting about or ignoring our friends in Kansas City and around the country and around the world?
Well, one thing that really helps is a pandemic obliterates the arts community and all my friends left New York anyway, so I need new friends. Kind of half joking about that. I do actually, on a completely serious note, and I think I've said this to you before, like in a weird way, we have been hit so hard by that decimation here in New York, like those of us who have stayed. And it's so painful in so many different ways, right? Like the loss of the arts, how long it's going to take to get back, not understanding what our lives even look like, and our friends and our friend family, which is a big thing in New York City, leaving. But in a weird way, I do actually feel really grateful for the space that's opened up from that for all of these new people, to your point, that have come into our lives that I wouldn't have had a lot of space for going back, right? Like, because I've really full, like something about this entire thing being shaken up, like opens the door for the what you're asking about, I think, if you're willing to embrace it, right? And the second thing I would say to your question is just that, like, we are incredibly privileged to be building a business that is built for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, where a small sliver or half, whatever it ends up being, of our work will be in the city. But in fact, the underlying engine for this entire company and what we do was there are people that are not here that want to be a part of what we do. You know? And so, I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a chicken answer, non-answer, you know what I mean? Or like, but I just feel like we're not going to have to work that hard to not go back because we're building for the not going all the way back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I've for a long time now been interested in sort of like either working at or building a, like what's called a distributed company or distributed workforce where it's like by design, like your employees are wherever the heck they are. You know, you have development teams in Sweden, you have one person in San Francisco, you've got a person here, and built into the infrastructure of the company is the idea that you need to be able to connect digitally in order to function. And I love, love, love what you just said about like, oh, our company takes it one step further. And it's like the product itself focuses on that distribution. It focuses on that access of not needing to physically be in an office or in a theater or in a physical space somewhere in a, you know, coastal city.
Yeah. And I think about like, even for myself, we are biased. I think you and I and everybody else on the team, obviously this is not just us, but when I think about like the last 5 years of my life or so, like I am a smarter human, a better worker, and a more happy person because I put myself in the situation to do exactly what you're talking about, to be like working on distributed team projects or whatever it was, so that I could go live in, you know, Colorado and go out hiking from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. and then come back and work from the cabin, right? Like, and still be in nature or whatever, or go to Australia and do work in the mornings and then go out and venture around Australia. Like, to be able to be bi-coastal, to go back, you know, and have an LA family and to spend time out there. It's I don't know. I've just never bought that, like, that office job and the big salary. Like, it's A, I don't know why you can't do it in a distributed manner, right? Like, I never bought that you couldn't be successful in that way and be on a distributed team and see or be whatever letter I'm on. It's the end of a very long day. You know, why that's the marker for happiness, right? Like, get up at six, take the subway downtown, spend 8 hours in a like office. And I don't know. It's just, I've never bought it because I've never had to do it and I've done just fine. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's my feeling about it.
I mean, riding the subway every day is fun and terrible. So
we'll leave I that love at riding that. The subway. I just mean like the slog in the hundreds and bazillions of humans at like 9 a.m. and then back at 5 and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is all making me think as well about the moments that we do have to like consciously create because we're only interacting through the digital. And actually, Lucy, if you want to jump in. So at the end of our conversation on Clubhouse, Lucy jumped in with this like barn burner of a question that I wish we had like 20 extra minutes for. But Lucy, do you want to just jump on and sort of like reiterate or paraphrase the question you asked?
Yeah, well, we were talking a lot about the audience experience and how like all of this is trying to like recreate the experience of being in person for the audience. And what I asked Steph and Courtney was like, as a producer or as somebody working behind the scenes, what's like your marker for success or satisfaction? Or like, what do you look to after doing this big online event that you've put so much time and effort into, and then it's over and you're like, what do you do with all of that emotion after it happens? And like, what signs are you looking for that are telling you, oh, actually, I did really well, when you don't have the audience there giving you a standing ovation?
What did they say?
Courtney was like, wow, I've never thought about it. That's crazy. But then they ended up both having like very specific stories of times where like the Paul Taylor benefit was brought up, of people in the chat sharing stories. And it was just this feeling of, oh, they've brought together all these people who care really deeply about a specific subject, seeing that they had brought those people together for Courtney, that was like a measure of success. That was like a replication of what you would get in a live event.
And neither of them said this, but I'm imagining like, you know, crying in a corner once it's all done, just because of all the stress. That's how I feel after each event.
So many times.
Just like retreat to corner of apartment, cry a little bit, feel better. But actually,
go ahead.
Oh, you go.
I was just going to say, maybe we've talked about this before, but you know what I think, like even just for us as humans, one unfortunate byproduct of this exact, like the question that you're posing, Lucy, is that like in a digital world without that audience feedback, right? And like we're together, and in this remote world, because, you know, maybe this changes when we can all work, or a lot of us can work out of an office together, and then you guys are in remotely and whatever it is for an event. But for now, something about just logistically what happens, which is what you've pointed out, that like show ends, venue comes down, Slack thread ends, and I'm in my house and I'm going to like move 10 feet to my couch and have a glass of wine by myself. I often find myself thinking about like, I wonder what we're missing by not having the moment to really understand what we did. Like Paul Taylor, like that was... what we did was, we would have stayed out in a bar afterwards for fucking 5 hours talking about that show and what we did, right? Like in a normal world. And there's just, because it's so easy to close shop in a digital, completely digital environment when you're by yourself at your house, like it's just also very easy to gloss over what just happened, you know, and move on to the next thing. And I think sometimes we take for granted, to pat ourselves on the back for a second, right? We take for granted what a momentous thing we do every time we put one of these shows on. And your question, Lucy, just like, what is success? And when we don't even see the people we put on the show with right afterwards, right? We don't talk to them for another week or something like that. I don't know. I wonder what will come of that question as people do more digital shows, and that question that you've posed becomes more central to more people than just us. I wonder what will emerge.
Yeah. And I like, what are we going to do? Because actually, Adam Ray Siegel, friend of the clubhouse, friend of the pod, friend of the whatever we're saying, jumped on and was like, oh yeah, like we have like rituals that we've built in to like not force necessarily, but provide space for having that moment with the people that you just put on this thing with. So maybe you can't hear the audience, and maybe you can't see the audience, maybe you can't sort of like bask in the afterglow of the stage lights. But you can see all those people that you just worked so hard to create that event with, and y'all can share a drink on video instead of being by yourself on the couch, which is how we all seem to do it right now. And I was like, oh yeah, that's brilliant. And like, I love this idea of like consciously building that in, that space for people to come back together and to share that moment of relief and excitement and like extend the night a little bit, which like, whatever, it's already late. Let's have another half hour of hanging out.
Yeah, that's really cool. We could even like have that space in our, I'm sure you talked about this, but in the venue, you know, even like we just, our client or our collaborator has to know that our team's off the clock at this time, but that like come to the dual staff room and like, let's all share and celebrate. Although I feel like sometimes after these big events, everybody's like, I got to go to bed because I have so much work to do tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So I create the space, not force people to come.
Yeah, it's true. What else happened of note in there? Anything else super interesting, exciting, thought-provoking?
Well, I'll give everyone what they've been waiting for, which is that other fun fact teaser that I had thrown out earlier. Which when we had kind of devolved into, hey, tell us your worst stories, you know, best solutions phase of the clubhouse chat, Courtney just like opened it up with like, yeah, we were having this crazy issue and the fire department showed up because we didn't have the permits.
I know this story.
And I'm a fire marshal, so it was fine. And we were just like, whoa, 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 you need to hold the phone. Like, you're a fire marshal. Like, what does that even, like, tell us more about that. And maybe blowing up her spot, but supposedly she failed the test the first time.
Oh, no.
But is now officially a sanctioned, licensed, whatever the term is, fire marshal.
I'm so glad she just kept pursuing her dreams.
I know, me too.
Never give up, guys.
Living the dream. And little did we know, we had another fire marshal on the call, on the clubhouse. Adam Ray Siegel, also a fire marshal.
Of course. Like, great producers, also fire marshals for their companies.
Yeah, so I feel unaccomplished in my life right now. I need to go get some weird certifications that are like mildly practical and probably totally useless.
I'm going to be the fire marshal for my like apartment building.
Oh, I love that.
I had a moment when you just came in with the trivia. I was just thinking about, as we sort of like wind down this week, and everyone who's listening, I hope that you'll watch this. This week, I have been hosting a storytelling summit, a series of interviews for a company called Scenit in the UK. And for the fourth one, so I did three where I was the moderator, but for the fourth one, my friend and podcast co-host Andrew Call interviewed me, and it's chaos, you guys. It's just like mass chaos. I mean, and I was just thinking as you introduced that, my experiences with you two as podcast hosts is like night and day.
Really? This is not chaos?
No.
I mean,
this is like, so like with him, it's one of my favorite things about hosting with him and being his friend, but like, it's just a hurricane. You have no idea what's about to happen or what's going to come out of his mouth or like where we're going with something. It's never anything discernible or decipherable. Like, you know, and our interview for Scenit was the same way. And I was just thinking like, oh, this is so much calmer. And like, I know where things are going.
Well, kudos to whoever's doing post on that interview.
Yeah.
And weaving the story together from all the randomness that Angie's throwing out.
Oh no, it's only 15 minutes long, which is how long the talk is, so it's all going in.
Oh my god, amazing.
There's some cat paw moments, like there was chaos. It's absolute chaos.
All right, well, you're gonna have to share that out with everyone.
I'll do that.
And everyone, let us know what you think of this episode. Let us know what you think of the Scenit thing and whether or not Andrew is really as freewheeling as Jess describes. I'm guessing he is. but yeah, I mean, these conversations around conversations about conversations can only keep happening if you continue the chain. So join us on Twitter. You know, you can tweet at us at @BWYUnlocked and use the hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts.
And then, of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. We have a club. You can search for Broadway Unlocked. Next week's going to be a super cool. We're chatting with our friend Megan Platika, former staff writer on Silicon Valley, one of my favorite TV shows, about making the transition from a TV staff writer in a pandemic to a digital playwright.
It's going to be wild. Yeah. And if you'd like to moderate a show with us, you can pitch us your idea at broadwayunlocked.com/CH and talk to the nice robot, Jess.
I am so happy I have a robot. It's been a real goal of mine. If you're going to stop by, we every single topic we've talked about on Clubhouse has been inspired by the people on our stage. So, you know, please tweet us at hashtag TechTheaterCH, slide into our DMs, talk to RoboJess and pitch us. But just most importantly, join in the conversation. It's a lot of really smart, talented, creative people looking to the future of theater, and it's our favorite hour of the week. Until then, we'll see you later.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, bye.